Twitter and get involved at USA_votes.
Hello and welcome back to the radio studios as part of Bournemouth Uni's coverage for the US election.
You're back with me, Charlotte Petty and Emily Shepherd.
In this segment, we're going to be discussing young voters and their impact in what seems to be a head-to-head battle for presidency.
And of course, we'll be talking about poll results that have come in during what we call a rush hour.
But first, over to Jeff Buckeridge, who'll bring you the latest news.
Thank you very much, Emily. Donald Trump is projected to win the state of Tennessee, which has 11 electoral college votes and has voted Republican since the end of the Bill Clinton era. Trump has also won the states of South Carolina and Alabama. According to Fox News, Trump has also won the state of Missouri. Marco Rubio has won his Senate seat in Florida. The former presidential candidate who was up against Trump won with 52% of the vote. He is performing considerably better in his home state. The lead in Florida has gone back and forth for the presidency. Currently, Trump has a slight advantage in the swing state of Florida, with around 90% of the votes counted. The state has 29 electoral college votes, and many people have suggested that Trump needs to win over the state to stand any chance of getting into the White House. Meanwhile, the Republicans have won the House of Representatives. The Democrats have gained their first seat in the Senate tonight, with Tammy Duckworth winning in Illinois. The battle for the control of the Senate is expected to be tight.
Thank you, Jeff. So as it stands, the current result stands at 68 electoral votes for Clinton and just 66 for Trump, so it's very close, but Hillary is just in the lead. Our political pundit Joshua Coase is here to discuss all these important results.
So many states are still too early to be called, really, including Pennsylvania and, of course, Florida being the main one. It's a real swing state that everyone is talking about. So CNN have predicted that Trump will lose by a couple of points, but it's been nip and tuck all the time. It keeps fluctuating. So 91% of the results are in. However, the statistics currently stand at 47.9% for Clinton and 49.1% for Trump. So both candidates are really neck and neck. And North Carolina is also close to call. We do know that 59% of the votes are in, and Hillary Clinton's received 49.9% of these, and Donald Trump's got 47.6%. So far, Hillary's won the votes in Delaware, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. On the other hand, Trump has been victorious in Alabama, Mississippi, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. So Clinton's in the lead with 68 votes, and Trump's got 66, but it keeps changing all the time.
It really couldn't be closer, could it?
Absolutely, yeah.
It really is the definition of the swing states.
Yeah. So now the topic for this segment is all about young voters and their impact in this election. A poll revealed in September that 44% of young people will vote for a third party in this election.
I think this shows how unpopular the two candidates are with young people. We are now joined by our political pundits Holly Bowman and Tom Dents.
Hello.
Hi.
So youth vote is always an interesting part of any election, especially in this massive one for the US. What effect do you think youth vote will have in this US presidency?
Well, I think it'll have a big effect, considering that the majority of youth voters wanted Bernie Sanders, as far as my research went. So I've got a feeling a lot of them will head for Clinton just because they are so afraid of Trump.
Yeah. A lot of people are afraid of Trump.
One is.
Yeah.
And I think that they're after progressive change, but I think the mentality among a lot of the young people I've spoken to online is that if we just get through 4 years of Hillary, then we can elect somebody decent in 4 years' time.
Obviously, like, neither of the candidates, obviously, they focus a lot on, like, immigration and stuff like this, but they haven't really spoken about education and young people. Do you think this has made an impact on why not many people will vote, do you think?
I'm pretty clear on the fact that the youth turnout is our biggest issue here. Mm. So we have it over here in the UK. We have it in America even more so. Young people just don't get out there and vote. So therefore, politicians don't care. You know, they're not going to start issuing policy or suggesting different ideas that are going to be attractive to young people. That's why, for example, you get pension policy and stuff pushed through so much more, because the older populations vote. Mm. The young people don't. So there's no motivation there for the politicians to begin to be putting anything like that forward.
So why do you think that young people don't vote? But you said they don't care, but is there any other reason? Like, is Trump and Clinton, do they have any effect on this? Or
No, it's definitely not that young people don't care. It's the politicians that don't care about the young people. Young people don't vote because they are disillusioned with what's going on. I mean, I think many of us here will agree that we look at politicians and they're not relatable people. They're really not. Okay. what worries me tonight is the fact that a lot of young people will look at Clinton and will think, she's exactly the embodiment of what is wrong with politics. She's there as this establishment individual. And OK, maybe she might make an all right president, but she's so normal. She's so status quo. And some people might be like, oh, well, maybe this Trump guy, you know, he's a bit of a racist. You know, I don't agree with his policies, but at least he's different.
And just following that, a lot of students, though, they do see, like, I think they've kind of got a clearer view on how controversial Trump is, whereas adults, like, they're kind of going along with it. But a lot of students, a lot of young people are like, what are you listening to? This guy is...
Yeah,
very right wing.
And students tend to be considerably more liberal than their counterparts. I mean, a lot of people, and I would love to argue that, but suggests that that comes through because we're more educated or because, you know, we come from a different generation. However, we can't start going out there and saying we're right, young people are right, because that's not necessarily the case. We have to consider the fact that actually, you know, if Trump is appealing to these older people, then to them on a personal level, he's the right person for them, and we've got to respect that.
So earlier on this evening, me and Charlotte, we watched a TV package on ITV News, and it was about a lot of youth voters in America. And an interesting issue that we came up was students feel embarrassed to actually be an American during this election. What do you make of that?
Well, particularly after Brexit, I was quite embarrassed to be British. But when you've got two of the oldest and most unpopular candidates running for the presidency ever, it can be a bit embarrassing for young people. And they don't really have a lot of option, because if, say, they wanted to vote for Jill Stein or Gary Johnson, that vote could be taken away from Hillary and more could go to Trump. So they don't really have a lot of choice.
Yeah, we were saying, we saw a thing where like a lot, I think like 44% of like young voters said that they wanted to do a third party because they didn't like the top two. But a lot of people are saying that's completely wrong because that will basically give Trump more of a chance. Obviously, do you think this is correct?
I probably do, because a lot of the people who will vote more sort of independent parties are the more left-wing voters who will vote for Hillary and previously did vote for Bernie Sanders. But when you've got Bernie Sanders actually saying, don't vote third party, then hopefully they're going to listen to Bernie.
Obviously, so with the potential of a first female president, what do you think this means for young women in America? For like example, Beyonce recently backed Hillary and she said one of the reasons is so that her daughter can grow up with a female president. Do you think this will affect young like female voters specifically? Particularly got there.
If I'm honest, I'm not convinced that Hillary Clinton is this feminist icon that people see her as. For me, and in research and things that I've done in the past, this feminist embodiment, something that's actually going to help young women, isn't going to come in the form of a 70-year-old woman, and not one who's so, you know, stuck down. She's boring. She's stuck in the establishment. She doesn't, you know. I mean, I'm not a woman, so maybe I'm not one to say. But I don't look at her and go, "Wow, you're something special. You're going to change people's lives." Because although she's a woman, but you look at it the same way as Margaret Thatcher or whatever. Yes, she was a woman, but did she empower young women? No. I don't think so.
No. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
So, listen, in the past, Vogue has had no history of political endorsements until now.
Vogue have recently endorsed Hillary Clinton on their Instagram page as the next president of the United States of America.
And obviously, Vogue magazine has always reported Hillary's career, including her first time as First Lady and the 67th Secretary of State.
They stated on their Instagram that they understand that Clinton has not always been a perfect candidate, yet her fierce intelligence and considerable experience are reflected in policies and positions that are clear, sound and hopeful.
And obviously, Vogue having a younger audience, I think that's a massive impact and a massive statement for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So first time voting is a big deal, as we all know, especially myself and Emily. It was for myself. We are joined by Cecilia White, a first time voter. Now Cecilia, this is a huge election to have as your first vote. How are you feeling about the process and your choice?
I feel completely honored to be able to do this. As a young woman who attends a women's college, there's a lot of hype about Hillary here, and I mean, for my first election, I'm pretty excited.
And if Clinton is elected as president, what would that mean to you, her being the first female president?
I think it would be a really big deal. There are so few female role models in politics, and I think that the idea that like young girls can look up and see a woman as what we in America perceive as, you know, the most powerful office in the world. I think that would be a really big deal.
So you said you see Hillary as a role model. Is that what she is to you? I mean, do you look up to her? Do you aspire to be like her?
In some ways, I think some of her policies are flawed. I think some of her actions are flawed, but I also think that this campaign has taken this woman and torn her down. And for all of the beatings that she's taken, I think she's still pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
So as a first-time voter, how's the process been for you? Like waiting in line, all that? Has it been like a lot of kind of Trump and Hillary signs outside? What's it been like?
Well, because I'm at a small women's college and I'm kind of surrounded by a lot of like-minded, very liberal people, there's been a lot of like pro-Hillary sentiment surrounding me. And also voting this morning, I walked out my door of my dorm. I got onto a little shuttle bus, drove 5 minutes down the street, waited about 5 minutes in line, pressed two buttons, and then I went home. Oh, and I got a free cookie.
That's all that counts.
So as yeah. Charlotte mentioned earlier, me and her ourselves were first voters a couple of years ago during our election. Now, me myself, I was a bit confused as to how it all worked. Is that how it is for you, being a first-time voter? Did you understand what was going on?
I think I basically understood what was going on. I mean, the machine itself was like a little weird, but people were very willing to help. There were loads of volunteers. Overall, it was very straightforward.
So did you understand, like, Clinton and Trump's policy? Did you know what you were voting for? Did you have a clear understanding?
Yes, for sure. I mean, being where I am and, like, growing up the way that I've been, I've always been a fairly politically inclined person. And I know that when I'm voting for Hillary, like, I don't necessarily agree with all of her foreign policy actions, but I know that I'm definitely choosing a much safer candidate with a much more liberal agenda. I know that her tax plan is not going to increase our national deficit. I know that she is not going to try to block out immigrants. And I know that she is trying to reform healthcare rather than take down Obamacare, which would be a pretty dangerous, reckless, and expensive action.
Yeah, definitely. We're joined by two political pundits. Do you guys want to ask Celia anything as a first-time voter? Obviously, we've all done it ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really interested in how you feel the media in America has had an impact on your vote, and not just your vote, but also your understanding of the two candidates' politics as a whole.
I think it's pretty interesting because social media sort of allows us to pick and choose the kind of news that we get. So if you're a person who's interested in hearing about a liberal point of view, it's pretty easy to set yourself up to only receive that kind of information. And I think that sort of creates a dichotomy. So you have people who are like bombarded constantly with very conservative ideas and propaganda, and people who are only exposed to like their liberal friends and liberal ads because it's geared toward them. So I think it can help spread information, but it can also help misconstrue information, and it can kind of create these dichotomies that separate people into polar extremes, which you see in like the fact that America is so polarized in our politics.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Yeah, so thank you for talking to us, Celia.
So thank you.
Obviously, so we're saying youth vote is a massive thing to happen in this election. We've done it ourselves. Like,
yeah.
It's very different how America's system works, do you think? Like, they've always got two candidates to choose from. Do you think that kind of, works in their favour or not?
I mean, there's the whole idea of having a president, and that's not something that we necessarily have over here. We very much, the structure itself is electing our own MP rather than picking this kind of celebrity figurehead that's going on. I think that suits young people. Young people like the celebrity culture. And that's a generalisation, but we do.
We can't deny it, we do.
And you like to personify these people as looking at their characters and judging them on that. Yeah. We judge them in the same way I would, judge Kim Kardashian or something like that. And it's not dissimilar. And you can relate that. That's relatable to people. I think the system in America works better for young people than it does over here.
Okay, yeah, I agree.
So that's all for now. Join us again. We're going to hand you over to TV. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
USA Votes 2016.